Ooh, hi.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
So as I was saying 3 years ago...
Whatever.
Oh my. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. My name is Ron Van Dam. That's right. And it's a pleasure to be with you, to be in your company. I don't know which company is, but I assure you, it's a pleasure to be in it. Oh, I'm in it. Oh, I'm in it. How you doing, by the way? How you doing? Excuse me for not noticing you. How you doing? Good to see you. Wait a minute. Did you lose weight? I've been doing that to everybody recently, and it's so powerful. It's the most powerful words ever spoken. You can walk up to anybody. It doesn't matter if it's a male or a female or even a dog or even a caterpillar. What you do is you walk up to them, you shake their hands, you give them a hug, whatever. And as you're shaking their hand, you take your eyes and you put them on the person's stomach. And if you're giving somebody a hug, hug them and then hug around their waist a little bit so that you're making believe that you're feeling them, not feeling them up, just feeling them. And then you back up about a foot, no more than a foot because it takes too long to back up like 6 miles. You back up about a foot and you just stare at their abdomen. Gives you a good excuse to stare at somebody's abdomen. I personally don't really care about your abdomen, but this is really important. You back up, you look at their abdomen, and you say, "My God, have you lost weight?" Oh, you have no idea how powerful those words are. You can rule the world with those words. Oh, yes. I think, as a matter of fact, that Moses, before he led the Jews through the desert, and by the way, what an incredible tour guide he was, huh? I think Moses just looked at the Jews and said, "My God, have you all lost weight?" And they said, "We're following you. You want to walk across the desert? We're coming, man," because that is so, so nice to hear. There's nobody on the planet who doesn't like to hear that. Seriously, you can't go wrong. So anyway, that really works as a little tip for me to you. As personal tip, I only give it to you. All my tips, just to you. No tips to anybody else. You get my tips. Do you like my tips? Man, are you losing weight. Try that. Seriously, I'm not kidding you. It'll just work on everybody. And if it doesn't work immediately, it will work. Oh, it will work. Whoever you say that to, they are all under your spell. Under your spell. You could say to Hitler, you could say, "Excuse me, could you just kind of change your attitude? And by the way, have you lost weight?" He would have become a pacifist. It just affects everybody. It really does. Anyway, that's my tip to you. I got a question for you, and I'm not really, I don't think I'm being forward, but I got this question for you.
What are you wearing or
yesterday I went to a restaurant and it was about 58 degrees outside. That's not cold, but it ain't hot. It's somewhere in between. There was a stiff breeze, and stiff, I say, that's what she said. It was a stiff breeze, and I was in a restaurant, and the restaurant was on the water, which made the breeze even stiffer. And into the restaurant comes walking a guy wearing sandals and shorts. Inappropriate dress for any time of day, any place. But it was only 58 degrees outside. Now, my immediate reaction to him was, "You, sir, are an idiot." I know he thought he was being real cool, you know, like, "It's 58, it's springtime, it's 58. I'll wear my shorts and my sandals, and I am so cool." You're not cool. You look like an idiot is what you look like. Everybody else is... A couple of people walked into the restaurant wearing jackets. Little, what they call windbreakers. They break the wind. And I've broken wind before, believe me. I've broken wind. This guy was just an idiot. And I had such an urge to lean over and say, "Excuse me, you're an idiot. It's 58 degrees and you're wearing shorts and sandals. You're an idiot. There's no other way to describe you. You're just a blooming idiot. You may think you look cool, but you look like an idiot. And by the way, you're an idiot." That's what I wanted to say to him, but I didn't do it. I leaned over to him and I said, "My God, have you lost weight?" I did say that. I didn't say that.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. Sounds like somebody needs to learn to make better choices.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Excuse me, but yes, I did. No, I didn't. Don't tell me what I said. I'll tell you what I said. And you said it. I did not. Well, apparently, I'm at odds with myself. Went into a store yesterday. Had an urge to smoke a cigarette. Haven't had one in long time. Cigarettes now cost $6 million a pack. Did you know that? I think they're like I saw the prices there in a convenience store. By the way, those stores aren't all that convenient. I'm just saying. Some of them are very inconvenient, especially when I can't understand the person behind the counter. That's inconvenient to me. Anytime I walk into a store in America and I need a translator, that's inconvenient. The prices of cigarettes are about $10, $11 a pack, and I think, how many cigarettes in a pack? 17? 16 and a half? I think there's 20 in there. They cram 20 into this pack of cigarettes. It's a lot of money. I didn't want to smoke or anything, but I just felt the urge, you know. And I said to the person behind the counter, "My God, have you lost weight?" Didn't work. Still had to pay for everything. I said to them, "I'm just curious," I said to the person behind the counter. "I'll take a pack of gum because I am a pack of gum kind of guy. But I'm curious, do you sell cigarettes? Do you sell like half packs?" And the girl behind the counter said, "No." I said, "You know, wouldn't it be interesting if somebody came up with cigarettes in half packs for those that think that they want to smoke a little bit, but don't want to spend the money on a whole pack and aren't going to smoke a whole pack. And she said, what are you, fucked? She didn't say that. Yes, she did. No, she didn't. Here we go again. And then I went further to embarrass myself, which is, why embarrass yourself a little bit when you can go all the way with it? And I said, you know, I would like it every once in a while to have maybe a single cigarette under great moments of stress or anxiety. She said, yes. I said, wouldn't it be interesting if a store sold single cigarettes, like one cigarette shrink-wrapped or in a plastic sealed wrap, and it was one cigarette. And let's see, there's 20 in a pack, they're $10. That'd mean that 10 cigarettes, a half a pack would be $5. One cigarette would be probably 50 cents. Wouldn't that be interesting? And she said, well, first of all, I wouldn't want to sell individual cigarettes for 50 cents. I said, yes, but you must do what the consumer wants. And this is what I want as a consumer. You must fulfill all my wishes, both cigarette-wise and sexually. Well, I was arrested shortly after. But wouldn't that be interesting, ladies and gentlemen, if they sold little single cigarettes for 50 cents or maybe per maybe a dollar, you know, make some money off of it. It's a dollar. You shouldn't be smoking anyway. But if you get the urge and you want to have one, throw me a buck. I'll give you a cigarette. It's going to be a short-lived dollar that you're smoking there. You might as well light up a George Washington. I'm just saying. But, you know, what the hell? Why not? So anybody who's entrepreneurial, you don't have to invent cigarettes. All you have to do is package them differently, individually. What do you think? You know, if you listen to this show long enough, you'll either go crazy or you'll be inspired to make these incredible entrepreneurial moves where you could be quite successful someday. Do you think you could? I don't think so. Anyway, do you ever, my God, have you lost weight? What kind of car do you drive? You drive one of those old cars? You have a new car? Wouldn't it be fascinating to have an electric car? Every once in a while, I'm driving around and I see these parking spaces and they have these little electric chargers. And apparently, you plug your car in and then you go into the restaurant, have a meal. When you come out, your car is charged. And I'm thinking, what am I driving a cell phone here? I don't think I could get into that concept of plugging in my car when I'd have to worry all the time. Oh, my God, did I plug my car in? If I didn't plug my car in, how am I going to get to work tomorrow? I need to plug my car in. And what if there's a power outage? I don't know. But apparently electric cars are the thing of the future. That's what they said like 100 years ago. It didn't seem to work out, apparently. Apparently that didn't work out. Let's find out about electric cars here today. My guest is an electric car expert. He's Vice President of Industry Insights for ALG and top industry analyst at ALG parent company TrueCar Incorporated. He's Eric Lyman. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing great.
Hey, what town are you in?
We're out here in Santa Monica, California.
Oh, how nice. I'm sorry to wake you up so early.
No problem.
Okay, all right. Well, we're talking about the car industry, obviously, with TrueCar. And it's interesting because gas prices have fallen drastically for a little while now. And I think that it's the human nature to feel that, okay, now I can get big gas guzzler cars again because gas prices are low and always will be for the rest of my life. But of course, that changes. We've all been on the other side of that. Are the fuel economy cars, electric cars, et cetera, are they still popular?
They're certainly popular within a certain enthusiast set. Those people where it really lines up with their commute. Mm-hmm. They can get the convenience of never having to visit a gas station, and certainly the environmentalists. But they're extremely popular with automakers because they're a way that they can accommodate their, what we call a corporate average fuel economy mandate that has been handed down from the government to improve fuel efficiency across the portfolio of vehicles. And hybrids and EVs are an excellent way to get that number way up and get all the credits for lower emission vehicles as well.
So when gas prices go back up again to $4 a gallon or whatever, these cars become more attractive again to the populace.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, the volatility of gas prices is pretty significant, and we do see pretty wild swings in consumer behavior with the change in those gas prices. So people seem to have that short-term memory.
Yeah.
But gas prices will eventually rise.
Sure.
And so people tend to keep cars on average about 4 to 6 years mm-hmm. after they buy them, 3 years after they lease them. So it's really wise to think about the long-term implications of a purchase and plan for the vehicle for not only your life stage currently, but where you will be in the next few years as you own that vehicle. And what's great right now is because gas prices are low and the demand has somewhat slipped, the automakers are still pushing these vehicles, and they're doing that with tremendous discounts on some of the EVs and hybrids and plug-in hybrids that they have available.
Because they got fairly expensive for a while, and they were far and few between, and now just about every car manufacturer has models of these electric cars.
Yeah, with the proliferation of technology, especially the battery storage technology, we've seen that cost come down. So you get that economies of scale. The economies of scale and the proliferation has also expanded the number of charging stations.
Mm-hmm.
So the term range anxiety is something we use in the industry a lot to talk about that uneasiness you get when your fuel gauge is running low on the EVs and you feel like you might not make it home to the charging station. Well, now charging stations are popping up all over, conveniently located in places like shopping centers, parking lots for things like airports and city halls. So they're becoming much more accessible, and they're located in convenient places that people frequent. And not only that, you get great access. These are usually the best spots in the parking lot.
I've noticed that. It's like, whoa, if I can charge my car, I can get some good spaces here. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and usually free parking as well, so that's always a perk, too.
Not a bad deal. So there are misconceptions about the electric cars. Some people are thinking, no, it's not. But they've come a long way. Technology actually has changed, as you started to mention.
Yeah, the electric car has been around for over 100 years, and just like all automobiles, it's gone through many iterations, and now we're seeing sort of the forefront of the technology. One of the great things about electric vehicles is actually because there's no engine running, it's a very quiet cabin, and also because the battery is generally located in the floor of the vehicle, it has a very low center of gravity, and that improves some of the driving dynamics and ride and handling. So you also have the availability of the power of an electric vehicle is almost immediate. So you have these different forces at play that really add to a nice, refined drive experience and a spirited drive experience. And, you know, we obviously see that in the high-end electric vehicles like the Tesla and the BMW i3, but we also see it down in the lower tier with the Nissan Leaf, the Volkswagen Golf Electric, the Kia Soul Electric. So that's sort of a ubiquitous characteristics across the board.
Eric, are these cars actually geared toward people that don't do a lot of highway driving, that they pretty much do local stuff, they work maybe 5 miles from home, that kind of thing, or is my conception of that wrong?
So much of the data has indicated that the average person drives about 40 to 50 miles per day, and that's what the target range is of what we call the plug-in electric vehicles. So these are vehicles that have a battery that can power the wheels, but also have the traditional internal combustion gas engine that often is used as a generator or a backup to supply additional range. So even on these plug-in variants, you can do most of your travel on a day-to-day basis with the electric charge. Mm-hmm. And we hear of people that don't go for you know, months even filling up the gas tank because they simply aren't using that. And those vehicles offer you the flexibility to go as far as you want. The pure EVs, we see that at a minimum, most of the automakers have about an 85-mile range, 85 to 90, all the way up to into the mid-200s for some of these vehicles like the Tesla Model S. So it's generally more than enough range for a typical commute. Obviously, if you're traveling 100 miles or 200 miles in a day, you're starting to push it, and you either need to get one of those nice Model S's or figure out, you know, a plug-in hybrid that is better for your unique driving situation.
So I guess the best thing to do is to go down to your dealership and just drive one of these types of cars and find out about them. It's time to start exploring, I guess, is the message.
Yeah, Earth Day is a great day to explore some of these cars at some, you know, the Earth Day festivals that are going on around the country. We'll see. It's very popular to have dealerships come and bring some of their green vehicles, their hybrid cars, their electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. I like that recommendation because then can look at them all, compare them side by side. And of course, once you whittle down to two or three vehicles that you know what you want, TrueCar is a great resource to head over to get upfront pricing from a certified dealer network of about 10,000 dealers, and you can start your shopping process online and not have to go down to the dealership until you understand the range of pricing that you're looking at for your vehicle.
Great. Where can I go for more information?
You can go to truecar.com.
There you go. That's easy to remember. Hey, Eric, it's been fun talking to you. Thanks for the information. It is Earth Day around the corner, and what a better time to open your eyes to some possibilities. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Take care. Fascinating. Fascinating. I don't know. I want to be good to the environment. I want to drive an electric car, but I don't want to plug things in. I don't know how many times I've been to bed and I've said to myself, oh my God, did I plug in my cell phone? Oh my God, did I plug in my electric chair? I don't want to have to second guess myself. You second guess yourself? When you go on a trip or you go to work, like halfway before you get to your destination, do you say to yourself, I hope I locked the house. Did I lock the door? Did I let the dog in? Did I turn the oven off? Did I flush the toilet? Did I wash behind my ears? Did I put pants on? You gotta second guess yourself all the time. The older you get, the more you're second guessing. And then third guessing, and then fourth guessing, and fifth guessing. I don't guess beyond the fifth. There's no point. Fifth guess was bad enough. I never get to a sixth guess. It makes sense, doesn't it? Anyway, we do have another guest coming up on the big program. I hope you're enjoying yourself today. This is my gift to you.
Sure, I like a good burger, but for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
It hasn't been. It hasn't been approved by anybody. But everybody at the FDA, they've all lost weight. Isn't that wonderful? And of course, you know the way to lose weight, ladies and gentlemen. I've told you so many times, and I guess, you know, I don't know why I care about you so much. I really don't. I don't know why. Way to lose weight? Two ways. Two ways to lose weight. One is the healthy way. Stop eating carbs. Stop eating pasta and bread. Just, like, not at all. Rice is okay. Not a lot. Just a little bit. A couple of grains. Two, three grains. But no pasta, no bread. Do that for 2, maybe 3 days. Get on the scale. You'll say, oh my God, I lost weight. And you really will. Personally, those two foods, the pastas and the breads, are they're the sex of my life. I love those things. I can't stop eating them. You give me a piece of bread, I'll consume an entire loaf. And I'm not kidding around. You give me a little bowl of pasta, I'll do it until I can't move, until I'm crawling on the floor. I can't stand up anymore. I'll just keep eating pasta. That stuff is like candy to me. Candy. The other way to lose weight is to get sick. And I don't recommend that. I'm not thinking that you should get sick, because things can complicate and you could actually really get sick. But I'm telling you, I've told this story before. I'll tell it again, probably not for another 6 years, but I was a guest on a radio show, the Jordan Rich Show on WBZ Radio. I was going to be his guest at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Well, Jordan's on from like midnight till 4 a.m. So I'm his guest at 1 a.m. So I drive into the Alston area, which is a suburb of Boston. It's still Boston, really. And there's nobody there at all. There's nobody there at all. And it's quiet. There's nobody on the roads. No, nobody. I get there at 1 o'clock, and Jordan's in a commercial break. He greets me, says, Ron, how are you? I say, fine. He says, you ready to go on? I said, yeah. He says, all right, well, you'll go on about 10 minutes. By the way, you hungry? Yeah, I guess so. 1 o'clock in the morning here. He says, yeah, there's some fried clams there on the desk. Help yourself. They brought in a big order of fried clams, and there's some left over. Help yourself. I said, fine. And I walked over, and there's this gigantic plate of fried clams. I love fried clams. Who doesn't? 1 o'clock in the morning, I figured, hey, what the hell? I'm up. I'm doing a show, you know, like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I have a couple of fried clams. They're cold. They've been sitting on the desk probably for the entire day since lunchtime that previous day. So we're talking a good 12 hours sitting there. But they're tasty. So I have like a handful of fried clams and then some. And I go on the air, and the show's fine. I'm on for about an hour and a half with him. I get home. I go to bed. Wake up in the morning. I am sick as a freaking dog. I mean, I can't move. I've got diarrhea. I'm flowing. The Hoover Dam couldn't stop my flow. I mean, I am just stomach pains, gurgling in my stomach. I have some type of stomach bug from those stupid freaking fried clams. What else could it be? For about 3 days, I didn't eat any solid foods because I didn't want any. I didn't want to eat anything. The only thing I could eat was water. I was eating water. Maybe some soup, but even that, no. I couldn't keep anything down. Everything flowed right out of me. My body didn't even bother to break it down or to digest it. It just flowed right through me. It was just amazing. 3 days of that, and I didn't want to eat a thing. I didn't want to look at food. I didn't care what food was. And man, when that 3 days was over, I lost some major nice pounds. I lost about 4 or 5 pounds in 3 days, which is a lot and extreme, and don't do it. But I was sick. And then I felt fine to start eating again and put those 5 pounds on within about a week. It took about a week. But had I decided to start a diet right after my stomach sickness, I would have been in good shape, oddly enough. Those are the two ways to lose weight. I don't suggest you get sick, but if you happen to get sick, relish it. Go with it, you know, go with it. Don't eat food when you're sick. If you're sick and you don't want to eat food, don't eat food. But keep hydrated. But so it's fried clams that have been left out in a room for 12 hours. Or stop eating pasta and bread. Me, I'm going with the clams because I just love bread and pasta. That's all I'm saying. And bread and pasta together? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh my God, don't even go there. Speaking of food, there's a chain of weird places called Pinkberry. Have you ever heard of this? I thought it was either a perfume company or maybe an underwear company. I don't know because I see girls walking around with little panties or pants, and they say pink on the ass, and I don't understand that. I don't understand. I think Pink is a recording artist. Not up on it, but I think he or she or whatever it is. And for some reason, advertising-wise, they put her name on people's asses. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I've seen people with stretch pants, and it says Pink on their ass. It's on the pants, and it's across the ass. And I, peh, and then the other ass cheek, ink, Pink. And I don't get it. I'm not understanding it. Anyway. So anyway, Pinkberry. Now, our show goes nationwide, and thank you so much for that. I believe in the Massachusetts area, there are no Pinkberries, which is where this show emanates from. But across the country, there are Pinkberries. Personally, I'm not traveling 700 miles to go to one, but you may have one near you. So this could be of interest to you, may not. But when you speak to an employee of a large company like that, whose title is food scientist, my ears perk up. Food scientist. Wow. What college do I go to get a degree in food science? I'm a scientist. Oh, do you put people on the moon? No, I play with food. Wow. You're my hero. You're my hero. You play with food. So let's talk about this, man.
Good morning, Ron.
Hey, Maya. How you doing?
Good. How are you this morning?
Wonderful. Maya Warren is a PhD. She's a lead food scientist for Pinkberry. And we're always talking on this show about eating healthy. Not so much that I care about people, but I don't want to lose any listeners. and this is in a sense for vegans, but for everybody, there's a new way to kind of be healthy and yet indulge in some wonderful tasting things.
Indeed, there is. You know, at Pinkberry, we've just launched a coconut milk swirl product, which is really, really, really delicious. If you haven't had it, I encourage everyone to go out and get it. But the cool thing about it is that it uses coconut milk, so it doesn't have any of the milk products in it at all. So those people who are lactose intolerant, or maybe they cannot digest milk protein, so like the casein and whey, they have an allergen to, this is a great product for them because they're still able to get like that creamy sensation that they love from ice cream, but they don't have to worry about having to take a lactate pill or not being able to digest it for whatever reason. So it's a really great product, and it's so fresh, so refreshing. And I look forward to everyone being able to try it all across the world.
Now, is this real coconut milk that's used?
Yes, it's real coconut milk is in the product, and the coconut milk is, you know, balanced out, you know, in terms of not making it too sweet.
Right.
Pinkberry is really, 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 you know, concerned about not making it sort of a shock in the mouth, and it's a really balanced flavor that people really love and they want to keep coming back for. And so that's something that the Pinkberry customers like, but we also want to be able to obtain new customers. So those people who are looking for new products, new ways of eating frozen desserts, and you know, Pinkberry is also known for having the team members actually top the product for you. So we're not one of the frozen yogurt chains where you go and you dish it out yourself, one of the self-serve, the pay and way. We really take pride and care in delivering a distinctive product and wanting to make sure we have outstanding service. So instead of everyone's hands kind of being in the little containers where they can get the fruit or anything like that, we actually put it on put it on ourselves, and all the fruit that we have in the store is freshly cut every single day.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're literally stores that get delivered fruit every single day. And in America, you don't find that every day. So
no,
that's
not.
Pretty darn sweet. No pun intended.
It's
really great. And the coconut milk swirl, mm-hmm. Made with fresh coconut milk. It's dairy-free. It's vegan. You can top it with pineapple, maybe some almonds and some little coconut shavings, and you kind of get like a pina colada kind of taste. So it's actually really, really, really delicious.
I'm feeling very springtime, very summer when you talk about that.
I know, I know. Doesn't it kind of want to make you like kind of go away to like a tropical place?
Yes.
So a lot of places right now that you'll see in the industry, we're looking towards sort of allowing the customer to experience life outside of their home without actually going really outside of their outside of the U.S. or outside of where they are at the moment. So imagine walking down the street and you're eating a coconut milk swirl with the pineapples and the coconut and the almonds, and it's like, oh, you're kind of in a tropical place, but yet you're really right at home. And so it's kind of that experience of that bringing different cultures into products as well is a really, really big thing right now.
Yeah.
And Pinkberry is definitely on top of it.
I've heard that coconut milk itself, there's a lot of talk about it, and all of a sudden it's on all the shelves, the pure coconut milk.
Mm-hmm.
And like now this is a very healthy alternative where people thought coconuts were like full of cholesterol and that kind of thing. But now it's like a turnaround, and coconut milk is like what people are seeking out all of a sudden.
It is. You know, coconut, I actually met someone once who told me they eat a spoonful of like coconut oil every day.
Yeah.
Because it actually keeps them from getting sick. I have not tried that, so I'm not sure if that's 100% true. But I've heard that to be true. In a lot of places, you'll see coconut products popping up, whether it's coconut water or coconut type ice cream products. And one of the reasons why you see it in the ice cream world or in the frozen area dessert world, as I like to say, is because the fat in coconut milk mimics the milk fat very, very well in terms of how it behaves in a frozen system.
Yeah.
And we don't see that when we use different types of like different like vegetable oil or safflower oil, sunflower oil. We don't see that mimicking too well.
Yeah.
And so often when you consume those products, they may not be as creamy, that sensation that we get, which is why this is such a great product, is because you have that deliverable that you're looking for in terms of wanting that nice aerated dessert, but yet it's not dairy, which is super, super, super great.
It is, 'cause a lot of people eat dairy and they don't even realize what that does to their system sometimes. And
And, you know, more and more people have a lot of allergens, and they can't consume it. And a lot of people don't even realize that maybe they're not lactose intolerant, but they have an allergen to the milk proteins, or there's something within the milk system itself that they can't digest. I know quite a few people that are not able to eat milk-type products and products with milk in it. So, again, this is a really, really, really great alternative it just gives them another option. And those people who can consume milk products, this is a great different taste avenue for them too.
Yeah.
So I think it's a winner all around personally.
Well, you're always looking for a dessert. You know, you eat healthy if you do or you don't, and then you're looking for a dessert, and that's where, you know, the cakes and the pies, you know, all of a sudden you weigh 5,000 pounds and you don't feel that great all of a sudden.
Oh, I know.
So this is a nice alternative. What a wonderful job you have as a food scientist. Do you stand over the food all day and taste it? What do you do?
I definitely do a lot of tasting. You know, as a food scientist, we definitely taste, but we also look to provide innovation. We look to bring in new ideas, to provide new types of products and, you know, maybe hone in on bettering products that have been around for a while. I like to, you know, go out and talk to young kids, and I tell them, you know, Pop-Tarts did not just appear one day. You know, someone had to make them, and that's what a food scientist does. We create those types of foods that then can become shelf-stable. There's a reason why, you know, you can go to the grocery store and buy a gallon of milk, and you're not, and it's, you know, 99% or so of the bacteria has been killed off, and you can keep it in your refrigerator at home for, you know, up to a week and a half. There's a reason why that's occurred, and food scientists And engineers and physicists are the ones who've helped create that type of product. And so food science is definitely a fun field, but it's even more fun when you get to research like frozen aerated desserts. So looking at the non-dairy ice cream world is really, really a lot of fun because it's a challenge. You know, think about how long ago this could have been out in terms of having more and more products that don't have dairy, but it's a difficult challenge to try to mimic ice cream in the way that we have here or in the frozen yogurt arena.
Yeah, but the other challenge was that the American public wasn't really ready to let go of what I call the naughty desserts. And now
I
have so many friends who need a gluten-free diet, and they rummage through the supermarkets trying to find those little labels that say gluten-free, and they don't want to eat like 20 grams of sugar in every spoonful, you know, that kind of thing. You just want... You don't want added sugar. So now people are actually looking for things where they don't compromise the enjoyment of a dessert, and yet they know for sure that all that sugar and all that gluten is bad stuff and processed, yucky.
Right, yucky. I love it. Yeah. And you know the thing about it is why we're ready for it, I'll use your word, why we're ready for it, is because nowadays people actually are looking to become more educated on what they're eating, and they're just not accepting what it is. And they want to know what they're putting in their mouth. They're wanting to know what ingredients are there so that they know what they're eating on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And when they see, you know, you go to Pinkberry and you see how clean and how nicely laid out it is, it's a very welcoming atmosphere. And then you go to the counter where you're greeted by a really nice team member, and then you see all the beautiful fresh fruit. You see the strawberries, the kiwis, the bananas, the pineapple, and you can tell that it hasn't been in a can. You can tell that it was cut fresh, and that's a huge thing in the world where we could get things that are just filled with sugar and syrups and aren't fresh. They've been in a can because they've been commercially retorted and they've been sitting on the shelf for 5 weeks already. It's a lot of advantages, and plus, I think, like I said, the world is ready for this type of thing.
So, where do I find the Pinkberry people?
So you can go to Pinkberry store. You can look up at www.pinkberry.com, and you can find a location near you. And you can also see, once you go to the website, it's right there, dairy-free options for the coconut milk swirl and other dairy-free products that we've also launched, including the Just Fruit Swirl, which is a tropical mango. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of that one is it has no added sugar.
Yeah.
So it's an NSA product, no sugar added. And with that means that all the sugars that are in there are from the fruit itself, because fruit has sugar. We all know that.
Yes.
But you go to www.pinkberry.com, and you'll see everything that I'm talking about.
All right. How many white lab coats do you own?
quite a few. How many have like frozen aerated dessert product all over them? Quite a few.
Hey,
a sign of a really good day.
I suppose so. Maya, it's fun talking to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a great one.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. All right, kids. Tomorrow I'll be back with more fun, more entertainment, more stuff. Until then, you have just been wonderful today. I don't know how you do it. You are just, I know a lot of people, not closely, not even by name, but I know a lot of people, and you are special. You, every day when you get up, I want you to say to yourself, I am special, and treat yourself, stick your chest out, ladies, and go through life feeling special because you are special. There's nobody like you, thank God. You are unique. If there were two people like you, I would choose you because you are more authentic than the other person who is like you. If you're dressed the same as somebody else, you are special because you're looking better in those clothes than that person next to you does. Always, always know that in my eyes, there's a tear for you. Well, actually, it's because I have allergies. It's not really for you. But that's okay, because it's important that we all get along. Don't you think so? I do too. Just walk around and take it all in. Open your eyes up. Stick your chest out, as I said about a minute ago.
In a way, the sun has shone on me.
Yes, it has.
Makes it easy to make it hard. Take an inch, take a yard, take it all. I don't need it at all.
Uh-huh.
Any day.
Any day now.
The sun could shine on you.
Let it shine on you.
Makes it silly to make it bad. Take it good. Take it glad. Take it all.
I'm so proud of you. The way that you conduct yourself like a conductor. Be proud of yourself. Let everybody know that you're special. That's Badfinger, by the way.
I don't want it alone.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to our co-sponsor today, the Pinkberry People. And I'll be back tomorrow with another program. Until then. Wish you peace.